less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. And close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music and dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night and I can show you how to use it. Come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation and satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Check your mouth and open up your heart.
Welcome to the Texas Hemp Show. This is podcast number 165 of the Texas Hemp Show this week. I'm Russell Dowden, publisher, editor for the Old Texas Hemp Reporter magazine, the state's publication on consumable hemp products and all things cannabis related here in Texas. We're currently working on the May edition of the Texas Hemp Reporter, and that'll be out here around Cinco de Mayo, actually, when we get that out on the streets this month coming up. Joining me on the program is returning to the Texas Hemp Show. It's been about less than a year since she was on last, but Cynthia Cabrera is joining us, director and chief strategy officer over there with Hometown Hero CBD, headquartered, of course, here in the Austin, Texas area. And we're going to talk policy, and we wanted to get Cynthia on because there's an open period going on still right now for dishes and the comments period. I guess they do this every 4 years, and we'll talk to Cynthia and kind of she'll set the record straight for us, I'm sure, on all things policy in Texas, because they do quite a bit of lobbying down there on Congress Avenue here in Austin. Welcome to the Texas Hemp Show once again, Cynthia Cabrera. How are you?
I am good, thank you, and thanks for having me back on the show. I appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for coming, acquiescing, and coming on and give us a little input. I understand the deadline for the comment period is Monday afternoon, I think, and tell everyone why this is an important thing to do, because I guess they do this every 4 years to get input from the community on how things are functioning and if they're functioning properly.
Correct. So they do it every 4 years, and the hemp industry in Texas is young enough so that it hasn't happened before, right? This is the first time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of probably taken some people by surprise that this is actually a thing or this happens, but you know, it's a new industry, so why would anybody know? But the deadline is Monday at 5 p.m. I did a video, it's on the Hometown Hero website on the YouTube page, and you can, the instructions for what to do or who to send the email to about the comments is there. Dishes said that they weren't planning on making any changes to it. However, we can't take anything for granted in a state that doesn't always love us. So yeah. We have been encouraging people to please submit comments, whether you're a consumer or an industry stakeholder, and just let everybody know at Dishes how the existing regulations are working well for us, being the industry.
That's right. And I think my producer's pulling up the page. I noticed I had to look this up to see when the deadline was, because I know you and I talked during the week, Cynthia, and you were concerned, hey, let's get this out immediately because the closing for the comment period is like Monday. So in hindsight, I think I should have had you on last week just to address this, but it is important. We still have the weekend. So anybody watching, again, it's 420 weekend too. It's
a weekend. I know.
This is not the weekend everybody's going to be the most political, unfortunately, Cynthia. Everybody's out there. Leave it to this to happen to Texans on the first comment period of this. And it's the first Saturday we've had of a 420 in 7 years.
Yeah, it is unfortunate timing. And there was actually a law firm that put out a blog post, and they put the wrong date. They put the wrong deadline, and people were freaking out. I was getting emails and texts.
I have a link to that law firm article, but was the date last year or not this year? Did they just get the year wrong?
They had it last Friday as the deadline.
Oh, okay. Well, we have it. Let's go to that one, Carl, which is the official state document. I had the law firm too, but I believe this may be the official one. I don't know if you could share that so that our guests can see that, but we wanted to be able to have where she can see. And yeah, I think this is here, right? Isn't this Cynthia?
It's the 31st day after publication. So what that law firm did by accident is they were they referenced 31 days after it was mentioned, not after it was published. And it rests on the publishing date.
Well, this is the main program here.
It is. Well, I don't have it handy, but it's on the state register page, and it's got these are not the only comments that are being reviewed now. There are a lot of them, different industries and regulations.
And it has here, Human Health Services is inviting comments. And I'm reading from the text that I pulled off of there because I had it on in front of me earlier, but my producer didn't get to scroll to the exact paragraph. But Human Health Services inviting comments on the review of the consumable hemp program rules to be submitted to the Human Health Services Rule Coordination Office or by email dhshempprogram@dashs.texas.gov. Again, let me say that again for folks. If you want to submit your comments before Monday, and the deadline is 5 p.m. on Monday, April 27th, the email to make comments again, and I'll get this out on social media, is dshshempprogram@dshs.texas.gov. So if you're a business owner, if you're a producer, a retail store, you know, we're on the media side, Cynthia. Anybody that's been in business within this space has a right to comment and give Dishes their opinion on the last 4 years, basically. Is that my understanding?
That is correct. Anyone can comment on it. And also, I think in the subject line, you have to put chapter 300, like comments read chapter 300 so that they know where to direct it.
Yes, that's what it concluded after the email address. It says, when emailing comments, indicate in the subject line, comments on proposed rule review chapter 300 in the subject line. The deadline for submitting comments is 5 p.m. Monday, April 22nd. We're going to get this out over our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, everything we can so that folks know, again, to email dshshempprogram@dshs.texas.gov to submit your comments. And tell folks why this is so important, Cynthia.
Well, so glad you asked. Even though they've said that they're not going to make any changes, you're aware of the interim charges that came out. And so despite the fact that they said they weren't going to make any changes, they do have the opportunity to make changes. And so that's what we don't want. We want them to understand that the rules as they are currently are working for industry. They're working for consumers. I was talking to someone from CBD Oracle. We did an interview with them. Sorry, rescue dog with issues here. I was talking to him and he said, well, you know, he said when the smokable hemp ban thing was going on and they were taking comments, he said over 1,600 people submitted comments in support of smokable hemp and two people submitted comments against smokable hemp. He's like, and then they went ahead and, you know, banned it anyway. And I said, that is why it's important to have comments, because if you have to have a lawsuit or you have to address something that happens negatively, we need to be able to say that the industry participated, the industry actually spoke up. That's the worst part. When a government makes rules and then industry doesn't engage and afterwards comes back and says, well, wait, I don't like that or whatever. We really need to be proactive, particularly in this state where not everybody loves us.
The last few weeks on the program, we've had some pretty heavy hitters in the space. I've had David Sergi, an attorney. You know, I had Daryl Suriff on last week in the industry. A lot of people, producers, I've had met several producers on that you know, manufacture their own products. And a lot of people feel there's some uncertainty coming because we've had recent comments with Ken Paxton at the Attorney General wanting to go after those cities, of course, that decrim. They wanted to enforce we've seen that in the news. And then last week on the show, last Thursday, we record Thursdays, the Lieutenant Governor's agenda had made a kind of a engagement letter. Did you see that on page 12 of that one too? Kind of making a note as an agenda to either ban or, enact restrictive legislative measures on Delta 8, Delta 9 products. You've seen that as well.
Yeah, there really is. And, you know, it's interesting that lawmakers don't always understand how that uncertainty affects an industry, right? They don't understand that it affects the jobs that are created. It doesn't allow people to confidently expand their operation if that's what they're considering doing. So it has all these negative cascading effects. And there is some uncertainty. I mean, listen, the entirety of the legislature in Texas has not been super supportive, right? Some folks have, but not everybody has been super supportive. And so when the lieutenant governor put out his interim charges, you know, for the Senate, it made it clear that he's not forgotten about this. It hasn't gone away. And so we all, you know, head on a swivel. We need to be super focused and paying a lot of attention to what's going on here, because I think that this year in Texas, we are in for like the most difficult fight so far.
Did you see the letters that went out from, I don't know, was the 13 or 14 state lieutenant governors sent a letter to Congress asking for more, interpreting the definition of hemp? I think it is that lawmakers, you know, these lawmakers come in and they go, some of them stay, some of them leave, but I think, I wish the lawmakers were watching this show as we've gotten into now our third and a half, going on 4 years. I want to mail the magazines to these lawmakers, Cynthia. I think, you know, we're all learning how to navigate this in the first 4 years. And so lawmakers have questions, and it's reasonable to assume that they might have questions. And but man, there's over 50,000 people employed in Texas, at least, Cynthia. Can you speak to some of maybe the numbers in the Lone Star State alone that you might be aware of? You know, how many people this, how much revenue this is generating on a statewide level, what the potential of revenue taxed might be for the state if they choose to, you know, enforce taxes. You know, this is benefiting our economy in a big way.
Yeah, I'm glad that you, that letter, I want to go back to that letter that you brought up in a second, but to address your question about the economic impact, there was a study done last year, Whitney Economics did it, and it was Texas has an $8 billion economic impact on the state, and that's from the growers all the way through to the consumers, so retail sales. And what's interesting about that is that I think we pushed that survey for maybe a month. And honestly, the response was not as big as you would think it was. That's why we ran it for like a month, because we wanted to make sure we just got, the point is that we did not capture all the information, or the economists did not capture all the information from the entirety of Texas, because everyone didn't respond. So I think that the impact, the economic impact in Texas is even bigger than $8 billion. They just wasn't a way of quantifying all of it, but I think it's probably closer to 9 or 10 billion, right? Which is nothing.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%, because the fact is the October release of the Whitney report, Cynthia, was on fiscal numbers for 2022.
Correct.
So here we are. Now we're in 2024, and can't imagine what 2023 numbers were in the state of Texas, given all of the addition to new products and innovation that the market has displayed. So can you speak to that? I mean, yeah, it's probably 10, 12 billion. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you have to assume, just based on the trends that you and I see every day, that the market has increased. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's a good thing. Right. That's a good thing. And so what's interesting is that last legislative session, I am like a hardcore libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, you know, I am against taxes and overregulation and all that stuff. But we were willing to like offer up a tax last year, and we were told that the state had so much money, it didn't need a tax.
Well, you know, what was it when I remember reporting on this in 2022, or maybe it was early 23, but I remember maybe early 23, we reported that the state of Illinois' cannabis tax for the previous year outnumbered the revenue for its own alcohol tax, which is pretty A pretty amazing stat for a state that had only had a cannabis program for a short year or two.
Yeah, it's pretty it's impressive no matter which way you look at it. And what's interesting, or we have to decide as an industry, like strategically, there are, let's say, three tranches, right? There are the people who are prohibitionists. They're morally opposed to anything, right? Yes. There are those people. And then on the other end of the spectrum, that other third are the people who are like, yeah, let's try it. Something new. Yeah, let's open it up. Let's do the market. The people we need are the ones in the middle. They're not exactly convinced either way, but they're open to thinking about it. We need those people. Those are the ones that we need to reach. There's no point in trying to convince people who are prohibitionist or just, you know, morally opposed for whatever reason. There's no point. They're not going to see it. If they're not willing, if the idea of, you know, millions and millions of dollars of revenue, even maybe $100 million in revenue, if that's not enough to get somebody's attention, then you have to move on to the next tranche of people, right?
The legislators. I agree with you. And one of the things I've noticed here that we've seen when Normal in Texas came out with their, their list of all the politicians that are running for office. You know the one I'm talking about. It comes out every year. Well, I emailed a number of people on the list with these candidates, and I was very surprised to see, Cynthia, that, I mean, like 10 of them right off the bat responded to my email that were willing to come on the show and talk about cannabis and hemp reform here in the Lone Star State. I mean, and it was a bipartisan issue. There was Republicans for Congress, Democrat. I mean, I've got a Democratic representative from Williamson County that's coming on from the Leander District running for in a runoff in a week or so. But I was very, it's very open-minded to hear and see that those, those new blood is open to this and coming onto the show and talking about it.
When you talk to those folks, I mean, you know, if you talk about banning an industry, it doesn't matter what the industry is. You talk about banning an industry, what you're basically saying is, hey, I am green lighting a black market or an illicit market, right? That's what you're doing. When you say, I want to ban something, you're saying, I want to create an underground market for this thing. And that's not the right approach. I mean, Texas has 30 million people in it. And, you know, for the overwhelming majority of the companies in the state, I mean, I think most of them are, you know, well-behaved and responsible and trying to do the right thing. It's inconceivable that they would shut down an entire industry because they don't like something.
Well, let's back up again and go back to those 14 or lieutenant governors. You wanted to comment on that. We talked about that with – I had David Sergi on a few weeks ago, and that came up as well. And so, you know, that was interesting. And then the Texas lieutenant governor was not the attorney generals. That was the attorney generals that wrote the letter. But our own Ken Paxton, who was – you know, threatening to suing the five municipalities that decriminalized cannabis in their metropolitans. He was surprisingly not on that questionnaire list to Congress. So if you'd like to touch on that topic, I'll let you go ahead and speak to that now.
Yeah. So tons of people blew up my email with that, you know the drill. Something comes out and everybody, you know, panics and, hey, did you see this? Did you see this? What's interesting is that the sheer hypocrisy in that letter is not always pointed out. And I think it's Bob Hoban. I think Bob did a really good job recently in a Forbes article, which I can forward to you if you want to see it.
Absolutely.
But he pointed out everything that is so obvious to those of us in the hemp industry. I think it was 19 or 20 attorneys general. And 15 of them, I think, are from recreational marijuana states. And so it's absolutely and utterly laughable that attorneys generals that are breaking the law by allowing the sale of a federally illegal compound are, you know, trash talking hemp, which is federally illegal.
Yeah, the absurdity.
It is. It's totally absurd. And, you know, the fact that you have to explain this to anybody is insane. But we do have to explain it.
Well, you know, you probably are familiar with the attorney Rod Kite from North Carolina.
I love Rod.
Yeah, Rod was on the show the week before Sergi, and this came up And I have the article here. We published it. He allowed me to publish this article in the Texas Hemp Reporter's April issue. But yeah, it's state AGs inflame hemp hysteria with letter to Congress. And he has a really good job of going into this. But as we go into 24, knowing things may be turbulent in 25, what are the top two or three concerns you have?
Well, I would say number one is that these interim charges, right? So the fact that, and I was talking about this yesterday, we were talking about these interim charges. And so, you know, they can start studying this issue at any time, right? They can hold hearings if they want to. They don't have to, but they can. So all of these things can happen at any moment. And my biggest concern is that we as an industry are not unified and together and rowing in the same direction to address all of this. That's like my number one prime concern. It's that this thing will get away from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's concerning. And then, you know, you've got the AG making claims he wants to go after these cities, and it just seems like it's a little uncertain, a little turbulent. But maybe, you know, maybe some of these questions can be resolved. I think it's going to be a very proactive year from our community after these first 4 years going into with the dishes. Please make comments, guys, on the dishes proposed rule review for Chapter 300. That is, again, DSHS hemp program at dshs.texas.gov. Again, the deadline is Monday, 5 p.m., and you have to put comments on proposed rule review Chapter 300 as the subject line of that email. Conversation will continue with Cynthia Cabrera from Hometown Hero on the other side. Is podcast 165 of the Texas Hemp Show. Be back after this. Say a word, but now it's gone. Oh, it's done, never to return.
Support comes from Tejas Tonic, a taste of nature with a cannabis-infused, lime-flavored beverage. Tejas Tonic is a non-alcoholic and entirely organic tonic made from Texas-grown hemp watched over from seed to can. Imbibe in the spirit of creativity. Learn more and where to order at TejasTonic.com.
This is Ricky Williams, and you're listening to the Texas Hemp Show. Hooker.
Texas hemp retailers, listen up. It's time you start demanding more from your vendors and stop settling for subpar service. Elevated Trading is the solution for high-quality hemp products at a fair price. Known for serving retailers, brands, and distributors across the country, we provide a reliable supply of high-quality products that will elevate your store's reputation and keep your customers coming back for more. Based in Dallas and family-owned, Elevated Trading is committed to quality, reliability, and exceptional customer satisfaction. Our rigorous grading process ensures that every item meets our high standards, guaranteeing a quality product that you can count on every time. Say goodbye to inferior vendors and hello to hassle-free ordering with same-day shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Visit us at www.elevatedtrading.com or call us at 972-373-4240. Choose Elevated Trading and elevate your business today.
Hey, Rachel, how's that new Bonsai Brothers delivery service? I heard you were going to get your cannabis order.
No, they came by earlier.
Hey, Rachel, I was just wondering if that was a pretty good cannabis order from Bonsai Brothers.
Yeah, like, it was really good. They came by earlier, and I've just been feeling so hungry.
Well, they have the top shelf flower concentrates. You got deals. You seem to be feeling well, Rachel.
Yes, in fact, can you make me a sandwich?
Bonsai Brothers, established 2018, cannabis delivery. Give them a call at 737-335-5227 or visit bonsaibrothers.org. Rachel, wake up. You can't sleep on the couch.
Bonsai Brothers, do the right thing. Free deliveries on purchases of $100 or more in the Austin area. BonsaiBrothers.org. Call 737-335-5227. Rachel, wake up.
Hey, this is Tommy Chong, and you're listening to the Texas Hemp Show.
Now, back to the show with your host, Russell Doughton.
Welcome back to the Texas Hemp Show, podcast number 165 this week on the Texas Hemp Show. Russell Doughton here, your publisher, editor for the Texas Hemp Reporter magazine. You pick the May edition up here about Cinco de Mayo around the state of Texas at our CBD stores and smoke shops around the Lone Star State. We will continue our conversation with Cynthia Cabrera from Hometown Hero. Again, she headquartered in Austin. She's the chief strategy officer there at Hometown and very familiar with the navigating the effort to keep these products on the shelves for our retailers and producers, and namely their own company, Hometown Hero. One of the things I've been saying about just commenting to my wife, my family, and my friends in recent weeks is I feel like that the space, given where we're going to next year, I feel like we really need some solidarity in the space. We need to somehow unify or just create, some solidarity within everybody so we understand the threat that we may be facing as industry holders in this space for next year. We've got the D9, the THC, the D8, D9 issue is something, but isn't being proactive or pro-engagement key for this issue going into 2025?
It really is. And I think that one of the things that, there's a good side and a bad side. One, Texas has session every other year, which is great because we kind of get a little bit of a break. The bad thing is that it kind of lulls people into a sense of security that everything is fine because we get so much downtime. I say so much downtime, is really not that much, but it's more downtime than a lot of other states, most other states, right? So it provides this like sense of comfort kind of thing. But until we are solid and we have like, we're on solid footing and like, we're not going to go anywhere, we really can't rest and think that everything is going to be okay. And to your earlier point about some solidarity and some unity, I could not agree with you more. I mean, I moved here from another state a couple of years ago to take this job. And I was, I was kind of surprised that there was not more unity in the state. And I think that is something that needs to be addressed. We have been working with some folks and because of that, and not my idea, it was one of our lobbyists, but we have been working with some folks, and on May 1st, we will be unveiling a new state association to kind of like do this. And so we really need to make sure that hemp-derived consumable products are protected and that the talking points are all the same and that we're all moving in the same direction. And, the last thing I need is, more work to do. So I'm hoping that the other folks are going to, step up and do their thing, which I'm sure they will. But we do need to move in the same direction. I mean, if you look at other states, you can kind of plot where things go wrong. And number one is that everyone doesn't share in the same messaging. And what happens is that folks break off. There comes like this moment of panic. And people start breaking off and start looking out only for their interests. So I've had disagreements with people who are like, well, we need to ban online sellers, or other people who want to make it more restrictive for retailers, or they want to and it's happened in multiple states. Well, we should just lock out people from another state, things like that. That doesn't help an industry. Pulling together means pulling together, and we protect the space for everyone. So that's just our, at Hometown Hero, that's just how we do it. We never all our lobbying work and our advocacy work, we never, ever attempt to leverage something only for our own benefit, because we think that the industry should be, the marketplace should be open to everyone. And then folks can compete the way God intended, and that'll be that. I don't know if you're aware of the lawsuit that we participated in, and we kind of actually helped push it along in Arkansas. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I think I read that. I read about that, and we talked about it in your email last week, too. Go ahead, yeah. Talk about this.
So last year, I mean, listen, that's Arkansas right. was so far down on our list of, you know, sales revenue from that state. We didn't really sell a lot in that state, but the legislation that they came up with was so egregious that mm-hmm. we just knew it couldn't stand. And so we put, you know, we got some conversations going, some conference calls, and we put that together. And I called a bunch of people in the industry, and I was like, can you donate to this thing? And, you know, we got an injunction in like 2 weeks.
Wow, that's right. I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And, you know, people said to me, oh, you know, you protected Arkansas. And I'm like, we didn't protect it for us. We tried to protect it for everybody, because we barely sell in Arkansas. It was just the principle of the thing. And that's, I think, the mentality that people should have, is that it's not just for one company or one segment of the industry. It's for everybody. And then everything else can be sorted out later once we've got that stability that we all crave.
Well, I think that's so important. And the thing to remember is, like, who was on last week? We were talking with, you know, maybe it was Eddie from Oak Cliff or Daryl. But, you know, we talked about how big tobacco could very well, you know, don't think that those other industries, bigger industries, is in the line to get involved in this and jump on, you know, cannabis in a big way. And they'd like to see the smaller operators out of the way. You know, Florida kind of experienced that, right, Cynthia? You know, where the bigger players kind of control the market. And we want to see a free market here where small businesses can thrive and succeed in this space. And that is a concern always, as well as, where the big corporations look to make play by pushing lawmakers to sustain a certain way until they're ready. So there's always that concern of the big players in the national and regional space too.
Yeah, what's important to remember, I think, is that, and listen, kudos to the marijuana industry, right? They've been at this since like the 60s or the 70s, and mm-hmm. they've done good work. But the activists, you know, people probably used to call them hippies, but those activists, they're gone. What you have now, and it's interesting, I did an article, or was interviewed for an article in Forbes, I think, and it was just talking about all the tension within the cannabis industry. And so there's, you know, big marijuana that's trying to squash little marijuana. Everyone hates, you know, the hemp industry. So all this tension, the tension between the rec side and the medical side, and all that. I mean, you just brought up Florida. Florida is literally poised to be dominated by, you know, a handful of companies, and they will be the only ones with recreational or medical. And it's unbelievable that could happen. But it's a good thing for everybody to take note of and be wary of, right? We don't want to end up like that.
I think, you know, you're right. And a few weeks ago, Cynthia, we had Morris Beagle on from NOCO. And I know that event had come and go. I don't know if you attended it. I didn't get to go.
I didn't get to go either.
But Morris was on a few weeks ago, and he, you know, talked about how, you know, the industry, the infighting with the marijuana and consumable hemp, you know, I guess the marijuana industry, or nor did any of us probably see or foreshadow the alternative product side of the hemp. Consumable hemp products. Just everybody, move along and try to make this work in a positive way as a collective effort, you know, from everybody on both sides of not just hemp, but also marijuana.
Yeah, it's super important. There's a legislator in Texas who published an article last year in the Dallas Observer and basically said that these hemp-derived products were terrible and they were unregulated and, you know, children were eating them on this, you know, the corner of every street and, you know, that kind of thing. And then about a month ago or you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, there was an article by one of the medical marijuana companies in Texas. And it was the same talking points. Oh, these products are unregulated and, you know, they're so dangerous. And what really gets me is that it's so easy to research this and see that it's not unregulated. In fact, Texas did a really good job in 2019. They came out with rules for consumable hemp products ahead of almost every other state. They did a phenomenal job. Yeah. I think there's a couple of things missing to make sure, you know, just to like tighten it up. there's just a couple of things left to tighten it up, but they did a super job. And if we can't expose the rhetoric for what it is, meaning it's just BS and it's fear mongering and that kind of thing, we're going to lose because marijuana does have a leg up on us. They have been doing this longer than we have just by nature of the thing. And listen, I understand why someone who invested millions of dollars would be upset that something got federally legalized and, you know, suddenly it threatens their business or potentially, but just sell hemp products. You don't have to be a hater. Just
Get into the game with the rest of the team, you know?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, don't make it, because I talk to marijuana people all the time. I'm like, don't make it harder for us. Let's make it easier for you. In fact, hemp being sold across the country where no one dies, where there's regulation, where industry self-regulates is proof that marijuana doesn't have to be regulated, so over-regulated as it is.
Yeah. I was talking with Rod Kite a few weeks ago, and I, you know, he was pointing out that, you know, North Carolina, like Texas, has some of the best robust cannabis programs, I mean, excuse me, hemp programs in the U.S. And how many states, I can't remember, I thought it was like 19, there's, I don't know, 17, 16, 18, 19, somewhere up there, but there's quite a number of states that have these hemp programs that don't have, you know, the medical program or the recreational program. And Texas, like North Carolina, are two of those. But there's many states that are like that, right?
Yeah, there are many states that are like that. And, you know, Tennessee is like that. Actually, Tennessee doesn't even have medical. But yeah, there are other states that are like that. And the thing is like, I wouldn't have a problem with medical or recreational or whatever if it didn't mean the death knell for the hemp industry. And until we can decide that everyone can agree that the cannabis, you know, free the plant, it's the entirety of the plant. It's all of the plant. It's not just the part that you like. So until we can get there, we're going to keep having these types of issues. It does make me happy to see more marijuana companies starting to sell hemp products. So I love that. Because it means that they recognize the economies of scale. They recognize, you know, what it takes for them to be profitable. And with those state regulations, the way they are, these marijuana companies can't make any money. So it just makes them even more upset. But that's
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, you see the brands from California, Oregon, Colorado that have created these hemp products to stay in competitive in those other states. And they're finding success in it, most notably here in Texas. I've been companies that come from California and they sit down and talk to me on the show have said, yeah, we just are excited for, you know, the market here in the Lone Star State.
Yeah, they're getting hammered in their states. I don't know. Have you ever had Bo Whitney on your show?
No.
Yeah, The Economist. Well, anyway, he's a great guy. Bo is a great guy. He was here in Austin, I think in like January, and he stopped by the office to visit. And so that was pretty cool. Got to chit chat with him. But he will tell you about it. Take New York, for example. New York is trying to ban hemp products for the financial benefit of the marijuana industry. And that's in writing because they were sued by hemp folks. And in the court case or the court documents, they say that they are, you know, they're banning hemp products for the financial benefit of the marijuana industry because the marijuana folks can't make money. The problem is it's not that they can't make money because hemp products exist. They can't make money because the regulations are so burdensome and so onerous that they're never going to be able to make money. So we have to like help these folks kind of like shift their thinking. And, you know, the more marijuana companies that come into the hemp space, the better it is for us. And for them.
I thought I remember this maybe in 2022, but I thought Colorado made smokable hemp illegal quickly over there. Is that right?
They did, if I remember correctly, they did, and they really restricted the hemp market in favor of the marijuana market. And you know, these regulatory captures are unbelievable. The fact that a state government thinks it's okay to shut down one industry in favor of another industry fascinates me. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's got to be a lawsuit in there somewhere. And I think Colorado also capped out at like 2 milligrams a gummy, I think, which of course isn't going to sell. And you have to export it out of the state.
It's just amazing. I've always been an advocate for this plant. For many years, I was a byproduct of hippie parents, Cynthia, which you spoke to earlier in the in the show with the hippies, you know, are all in baby boomers, you know, now. So the industry is, like you said, rest on their children. We're Generation Xers, and we're in this fight. I'm just amazed at how much I've learned in 4 years in the space. And it's exciting to see where this is going, but we've got to build relationships here in the next 18 months. We've got to, highlight some of the economic benefits to our lawmakers. That's got to be a big part of, you know, next year's legislative session, is hammering home the economic side of this, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, whether the state is interested in some kind of surcharge or a tax from the industry is irrelevant almost, because to your earlier point, 50,000 jobs, $8 billion in economic impact in the state, that's not nothing. Companies do move to Texas because there is so much opportunity and it's such a business-friendly state. You can't ignore that. And what we're looking at here is, you know, a handful of legislators that just don't like something. That's not a good enough reason. Like, it shouldn't be possible that in America you can get rid of an entire industry because a handful of people don't like something. So we do have to be vigilant about that, and we have to stay on top of it. I think that the threats to our industry, you said it earlier, actually, you said 2024 is shaping up to be really busy. It's been insane. I mean, we had Christmas and now it's here. And, you know, we're here, whatever today is, the 17th, 18th, whatever it is. Yes. And now we're here. It's just flying by. And, you know, we do a lot of advocacy work in other states as well. And just seeing how things are shaking out is brutal. And if, you know, hope springs eternal, and I have a lot of faith in our teams, and, you know, I have a lot of faith that good will prevail, but it's not going to come with no work, right? It's like, there's a lot that needs to be done.
Well, that's right. And you know, I like that, you know, we have the only magazine in the state of Texas that it prints on a glossy publication that discusses this. And it's exciting to be a part of this. I think we just need to be mindful that collectively we need to all engage in more advocacy in the coming months. Our guest, Cynthia Cabrera, this week from Hometown Hero, their chief strategy officer, on joining us here on the podcast. Maybe 2 or 3 minutes left with you, Cynthia. What's something we should, you know, hammer home as we hit the backstretch of 2024? Like you said, time is flying by. The summer's going to come and go, and then we'll be back, you know, looking at legislative session late in the year. It'll start really becoming on the forefront of all of our minds. What can we do to have more solidarity and just be mindful of the space we're all in as time does swiftly pass by this summer?
I think that the best thing folks can do is to be on the alert. I would also say that we have a lot of retail customers. We sell to a lot of retailers. Having your customer lists ready to be on blast and letting them know what they need to do, industry being ready. I mean, if they start having hearings and, you know, comments need to be submitted and things like that, and I know we can always count on you to get the message out there, but these things, I mean, we need to tee up to having to respond to something before session starts. That's what we need to do. We need to be ready just in case, because the just in case is a good possibility. So everyone needs to be ready for that. And we will do our part to share information as much as possible. You do a great job doing that as well. And we really appreciate you. And there was a story in there. This is months ago. This is last year, actually. There was a story in there and we wanted to get a copy of that magazine. So I called the magazine and I started talking to them and I was like, hey, listen, I'm trying to track down this issue and blah, 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 blah. And so the guy says to me, he says, well, who are you with? And so I said, Hometown Hero, we're a hemp company. And he said, well, you're a hemp company. What do you need a magazine for? And I said, well, we don't need your magazine. There's already a magazine.
That's far out.
Track down a story.
Yeah, well, we've been, you know, publishing this now for, it'll be our fourth anniversary issue is in June coming up. So we're coming up 4 years next month. Awesome. Before we let you go, plug this last part again with me. I have it here, but it's, you know, we wanted to, that's one of the reasons we wanted to get you on to talk about the comments. Again, comments on proposed rule review, chapter 300, subject line. You've got to email this over. The deadline is Monday, right, Cynthia?
The deadline is Monday at 5 o'clock. If you're a business owner, let them know, let the state know that the existing rules have worked out well for you. You know, how many years you've been in business, how many employees you've got, how you've been able to expand and, again, contribute to that economic impact. If you're a consumer, a veteran, let them know that the existing rules have made it possible for you to access these products. They've helped you however it is that they've helped you and that you don't want to see that change. That is the, like, we need as many comments as possible.
What about from the business side, Cynthia? Are business owners encouraged to say, you know, we did this amount of revenue in the last 4 years because of this program? I mean, is that...
Yeah, if they're comfortable sharing that, absolutely. I mean, and if they have a recommend, I mean, we have a recommendation for the rules. Like if you want to make a change, you know, add these two things and, you know, Texas will be perfect and nothing else will need to change. Just, you know, make a couple of changes and everything will be perfect. If companies are comfortable sharing their revenue and talking about how many people they employ and, you know, what the average salary is or whatever, all of that is information that is helpful. Absolutely.
Again, the email address, folks, to submit your comments, and the subject line of the email should state comments on proposed rule review, chapter 300. That's in the subject line, consumable hemp products. The deadline is, again, 5 p.m. on Monday. So I know this is coming over the weekend of 420, everybody, but if you can, get out there and make some comments. The email address to send that to is dshshempprogram@dshs.texas.gov. That's the email address to get that out there. And I probably should have put that up on the lower third so everybody could see that email address. And maybe I can do that in post-production of this week on the show. But final thoughts, fire off the website. Anything you want to plug for Hometown Hero at all? I know we talk policy so much. You know, we hardly even plugged the business, but I would like to know, when you make the announcement of this organization, can you give me an email or something, Cynthia, let me know when you're planning on making it. We'd love to have dibs on the press release for part of that when that news is announced. I'd be excited to hear what you guys have planned. And if you want to touch on that, you can, or if it's under the hat, I understand it as well, but we're excited to see what you guys are coming up with on that end.
Well, Russell, I will give you the exclusive. How's that?
Well, I appreciate that very much.
You can have the exclusive. Before we send out our national press release or statewide press release, I will let you know all the details.
Maybe we can get you back on. How soon do you think that's going to drop? Is that a few months away?
No, it should debut May 1st.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I need to get with you. We use a press release for something like that in our May issue? We're working on that now. So
yeah, I can get you a press release for that.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah, okay. You'll get it before anybody.
Well, thank you so much. Fire off the website. Anything you want to tell, how folks can get in touch with you to learn more. Your role as the strategy officer for Hometown Hero. How can folks get in touch with you?
Well, they can email me at cynthia@hometownhero.com. Our website is hometownhero.com. Very easy. We love to hear from people. We hear from customers all the time and the general public. Any questions that anybody has, we're happy to help you.
Well, thank you so much, Cynthia. It's always a great conversation to have you on and learn a little bit about policy and see where things go in the next 18 months here on the forefront of Texas as we regards to hemp products here in the Lone Star State. Thank you again, Cynthia, for being on the show this week.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Cynthia Cabrera, Director. Happy 420, everybody. That's right. You heard it from both Cynthia and I. Enjoy your 420. There she goes, Cynthia Cabrera, Director and Chief Strategy Officer there at Hometown Hero right here in Austin, Texas. I'm Russell Dowden with the Texas Hemp Reporter magazine. Check us out online at texashempreporter.com is our website. Give us a like, follow on Facebook or Instagram. You can check us out on LinkedIn, Twitter. We're on all of that. So you can give us a like, follow, helps the algorithm for our media company here. So we appreciate the support. Stay tuned next week. Enjoy your 420. I don't know where I'll be. I think I'm going to go hang out at Pond Springs. There's a big party down there at our friends at Mr. Nice Guy. And then I may drag my guys down there and take some pictures of everything going on with Sweet Cincy down there on Congress Avenue. That sounds like a good party. Soulfire is playing. Mo from the Mau Mau Chaplains. They got a lot of cool bands playing down there at Sweet Cincy this Saturday afternoon. So enjoy your weekend. Happy 420, everyone. Texas Hemp Show 165 rolls on out of here. We'll get out of here. Enjoy your weekend, guys. Take care.
Too lost.